Good morning, everyone. It's a lovely day, isn't it, today? Can't believe the weather. It's been great. We're going to be carrying on today with the Glorious Body of Christ series. And we're going to be looking at worship, but specifically, what is worship? To start with, I'm going to go with a little story. As a primary school teacher, wanted to show her pupils what morning worship looked like. So she wrote to the parents and said, could we have permission for your children to come on a Sunday with me to see morning worship? They wrote back, yes, we're happy for you to do so. And they arranged to meet early on a Sunday morning at their school. When they got there, as normal, children are children, there was a bit of boisterousness. They were running around, lots of noise. The teacher thought, hey, that's cool. You know, this is normal. But as she loaded them on the bus, the noise got louder and the boisterousness continued. All the way up to the point until they pulled up outside the church. The teacher thought, I can't let this continue. So in a very stern voice, she goes, and why must we be quiet in church? And some little girl at the back said, because people are sleeping, miss. Although that's a funny story, I have actually been to churches where people have slept. Yeah, wake up now. Wake up now. I've lost my train of thought. Thanks for that, Barnard. Okay. Yeah, I've actually been to churches like, and you could have fallen asleep. In fact, I'm sure, I was encouraged to go to church by my mum when I was a kid. And I remember she would have been very thankful had I fell asleep, because I used to go to a church where it was stand up, sit down, say this, kneel, say that. It was boring. And with hindsight, when I look back, it wasn't filled with the Spirit of God. And as I said, I could have fell asleep easily. My mum would have probably been blessed by that fact, because I agged the life out of her. When is it finished? When are we going home? And wind my sister up and do things that I really shouldn't have done in church. But I couldn't fall asleep in this church. You heard the drums today, didn't you? Okay, so what is worship? I thought it would be a good idea to actually go to the definition in the dictionary, how the dictionary describes the word worship. And it says, the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. I'll say that again. The feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. What does the Bible say about worship? Well, actually, the Bible doesn't give a formal definition of the word worship. And I actually believe that's on purpose, because I think to do so would actually limit what worship is. In fact, I think we're even guilty at this church of limiting worship when we say we're now going into a time of worship, which is now followed by 4 or 5 songs. Church, our whole life should be an act of worship. It shouldn't be limited to 4 or 5 songs on a Sunday morning, or possibly the 1 or 2 that you may be doing in your home groups in the weekdays. Our acts of worship should be from the moment we wake up until the moment we go to sleep. Now, they say the first person to hear the preach is the preacher. And this has been a real eye-opener for me. I can share that with you. And we'll go through this throughout the next 25 minutes. And when Dave asked me to preach, and he told me the subject, my initial thoughts were, oh no, is there another subject I could do? But then another part of me actually felt that I needed to do this so that I could grow in my understanding of worship and the many facets of worship there are. You see, I was guilty of limiting worship to just songs on a Sunday or in the week. It's the weakest part of my Christian walk, if you like, worship. And the reason why it's my weakest part, is I limited it to singing, and I can't sing worship songs. I get embarrassed. And that stops me from worshipping God. Now, I'm going to share more about that later on, but I'm sure I'm not the only person that gets embarrassed when we're singing worship songs, and I'm sure I won't be the last. But it does block my relationship and my worship with God. So what I've learned from this sermon very quickly when I started to prepare this is I'm not going to let my embarrassment block my worship anymore moving forward. It's just not going to happen. And then I also realised that just singing songs is one aspect of worship. And today we're going to go through the many different areas and facets of worship that there are. So, let's go back. As always, I have bribes to encourage people to get stuff. So if all else fails, you'll enjoy the sweets that you get anyway. So what I've done is I've actually split the word worship into seven letters, which is really handy because the word worship has seven letters. And I'm going to start with W and finish with P. Again, quite handy seeing worship starts and ends in that way. So can anyone guess what facet of worship, beginning with W, we're going to look at? Anyone want to have a guess? There's sweets. Words? Nope.
Welcome?
Nope, not welcome. Sorry? I can't hear you. Say it louder. No, not wonder. No, no. No, waving. No, but I like the way you're going. Work? Work? Worth? Work? No, come on, keep going. We'll get there in about half an hour and I can finish on W and come back to my points next week. The word. Now I'm going to give you that because it's almost there. No, Shirley. Word. No, it's not word, but similar. Witnessing. Which is the word. Okay. Now I'm going to start with this. Jesus didn't do anything by chance. Everything he did always had a purpose behind it. And there was always a lesson to be had. After all, they called him rabbi, teacher. He was teaching constantly to all of us. Now, in Matthew 28, Jesus tells his disciples, that's you lot and me, to go out and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything he taught us. Witnessing is a command from Jesus. He didn't just say it though, he did it. So before we go into our scripture, before I read the scripture there on the screen, which is John 4, 39 to 41, I'm going to give you some background. Now, Jesus, it was about the sixth hour, and Jesus was sunning himself up next to a well. And his disciples were probably in the town buying food. And a lady comes past, and she goes to the well, and Jesus speaks to her. Now she's shocked, actually, that he spoke to her. She says, "Why are you speaking to me? I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew." Jesus doesn't care what race you're from, or what breed you're from, or what culture you're from. He'll talk to you. That's a lesson for us there as well. Throw down your inhibitions about holding back who you should and shouldn't speak to. The whole world is open for us to speak to and witness to. He speaks to her, they get talking, they start building up a rapport. And then Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. He says, "Woman, go get your husband." She replies, "I have no husband." He said, "You're correct. You've had five. And the man you're with now is not your husband." He spoke straight to her heart. He exposed her sin. He spoke truth into her life. He'd spoke about the water of life that she'd never go thirsty. He'd give her water that she'd never thirst again. He spoke about worship to her. I'm talking about worship, where to worship. He said, "I tell you, a time is coming and has come where true worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth." See, this woman had religion already. But it didn't stop her living the life she was living. Jesus witnessed to her, spoke truth into her heart, and what was the woman's response? Let's look at the scripture. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Witnessing is an act of worship. You have had the truth revealed to you. You have hope. You have the good news. Will you share that with others? To do so is an act of worship. Okay, sweet time again now. The letter O. Can anyone guess? Openness? No, not that.
Obedience.
Not obedience, although that could be it. Sorry, a beast. Who called me a beast? Sorry? Oh, no. Nope. Offering. Who said that? Whoa. Lovely. Offering. There you go. Right on the head. There you go. Sweet. Cherry lips. Okay, offering. Okay. I'm going to read our scripture for us here. This is from Hebrews 13:16. And I actually didn't know that this was actually in the Bible. It's strange. I've read the Bible from front to back. And it's amazing stuff that just comes out to you when you go and look at it again. You think, I never saw that before. Anyway. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So I'm going to pick on three areas here. Time. Time is probably our most precious commodity. It runs out very quickly. Do any of you have any spare time? Dave did a study, a sermon a few weeks back, where he gave you a breakdown of how much time people spent on the internet, in front of telly. And I'm guilty of it. Yeah, I find things to spend my time with, but time is precious. The question I have for you is, are you making the most of your time? Could you be doing things like discipling others? Now, Jason's probably going to look up because I've let Jason down. Because I've been too busy to meet him for discipleship. And here's my commitment in front of everyone. I will make sure that I am with you for discipleship. Because I've been guilty. I found time enough to sit down and watch a box set on my DVD. And it's weird how when you start getting into the word and opening it in front of you, God speaks to your heart and you hear it yourself. I'm not just telling you to do it, because I need to do it too. Yeah? Spending time and discipling someone is a worthwhile exercise. It helps them grow. Money. Here's a question for us all. Do any of you have any spare money? Some of you do. My question is, who could you bless with it? Matthew 6 says, store up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves cannot steal. For where your treasure is, so is your heart. Listen, times are tough for everyone, yeah? Everyone. But if God has blessed you, and you can, think about who you can bless. Have any of you ever seen the Secret Millionaire program? Where people, you know, these millionaires go and they spend time and they learn about the difficulties of some people. And there's a godly principle there, because they will bless, they end up blessing someone and changing their life. I don't mean thousands or anything like that. It could be a cup of coffee that you could change someone's life to a homeless person. It could be, you know, buy them some clothes because they have none. Buy them some shopping because they have none. Yeah? It's an offering that God has blessed you, that you can bless others. hospitality. Has God blessed you with a home that you can open it up to others? In fact, did you know that it's a command in Leviticus to be hospitable? There's another scripture that says, because you don't know when you're entertaining angels. You could be entertaining angels. Has God blessed you with a home that you could invite someone who's lonely round to share some time with, a coffee with? My wife reminded me this morning, actually, when I was talking about this, or was it yesterday? It was yesterday when we was talking about this. She said, I don't know if you know this, but Dub and Tanya have a lovely home. They do. But every Monday evening, they open it up to 15 plus males to go round, eat pizza, share the word after football. And they're probably all sweaty and all sorts after the football. Boots must be messed up. And yet they open up this beautiful house and invite these 15 lads, of which my son's one of them. And actually, since he's been going, I've noticed a change in him. The way that he speaks to his mum, there's more respect. The way that he's knuckling down with work and school life. He's more of a friend to Nina than he has been. I'm noticing a real difference in him. But because of that man's hospitality in his house. Now, I've picked on Dub because it come to mind. There are other people I know that invite people round and share their homes with people. But if you don't have a home, I have one but I can't sell, but if you don't have a home, I have here. And I invite many people to Alpha. Yeah? Use the hospitality of this wonderful building that God has blessed us with. Yeah? Use it. Invite people here. Yeah? Now these are just a few examples of the offerings which are in your control to deal with and to make the use of. And all I'm going to say is, are you using this to bless others? Are you using what God's blessed you with to bless others? If you haven't, don't beat yourself up. You may never have thought of that as a worship tool. But now you know it. You could do something should you choose to. Now this is the part that I'm going to say to wrap up this O is, doing something that God has asked you to do out of adoration and reverence, not out of fear or duty, is an act of worship. You're doing it because you revere God. You adore God. You want to please Him. Does that make sense? Great. Okay. Fizzy mix. Ah, come on. Relationship. Almost. We'll get there. Respect. In it. Respectra. I'll tell you what, who said relationship? Who said relationship? Ah, Shirley. And I'm going to give you one of it. You can have one, actually. That's all right. You can have it anyway, because I love you. All right. And Shirley. Here, Shirley. Oh, you can have fizzy mix as well. There you go. Almost there, because it is about relationship, actually. Read your Bibles. I'm going to read this scripture to you. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Spending time with Jesus is an act of worship. Now you may ask, how is it an act of worship? And for this I would say, let's go back to our dictionary again. It says the feeling or expression of reverence or adoration for a deity. So let me ask you this. How many people out here are married? Hands up. Who's married? Okay, keep them there. Who's Mike's two hands up. You've married twice then, Mike, have you? Okay, and who hasn't got married but is going steady with someone at the moment, yeah? Good stuff. Right, okay. Now, men, answer this question carefully, okay? Do you adore your wives or your girlfriends? Yes. I heard Mike Barnard. Does anyone else adore their wife and girlfriend? Sorry? Yes, okay. Wives, you don't have to answer this so carefully. But do you adore your husbands and boyfriends? Sorry, or boyfriends, not both. Okay. So let me ask you this question then, and this is the real cruncher now. How would you think that your boyfriend or girlfriend, husband or wife, would feel if you didn't spend any time with them? Pretty poor. Yeah, if you didn't spend time with them, they'd feel pretty poor. Spending time with Jesus in the Word is an expression of your adoration for Him. It's the same with God. Spending time with Him, it's an expression of your adoration for Him. When you spend time with Him, you'll learn more about Him. You'll understand His characteristics, His character, what He likes, what He doesn't like. And that means that when you are faced with certain situations, you will know what to do, what pleases God and what doesn't please God. You'll know what makes Him happy and what makes Him sad. Spending time with God and reading the Word is an act of worship. Okay. Yes. Nope. 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 Sacrifice. Almost, Rob. Almost. Almost. Not sharing. Nope. Is that all? Nope. Nope. Not that one. I'm going to give it to Rob. What did you say, Rob? Sacrifice, wasn't it? Actually, very similar. S. Oh, that's good as well. In fact, I haven't got any sweets to give you. You can share them with Rob. He'll have to sacrifice them for you. Okay. A subject quite close to all of our hearts, I'm sure. Self-control or self-discipline. And the scripture that I have for us here is from 2 Timothy. It says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And some translations is self-discipline. Now I want you to pay attention to the last part, which says self-control. You have to use self-control, but the good news is you are not on your own to do this. Yeah? You're not on your own to do this. Because right at the beginning, He said that God gave us His Spirit. So we know that His Spirit is with us, but it also says you have to do a part too, yeah? So self-control. Now it's not on here, but I'm going to share another verse with you. And it's from 1 Peter 5. It says, "Be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Our enemy, the devil, is always waiting for us to slip up so he can pounce. He is stalking us continually. And I'm going to share a secret with you. You are going to be tempted with sin every single day of your life. And you're going to have to use self-control, self-discipline, not to give in to the temptation of that sin. And every time that you don't give in and you resist, it is an act of worship because you revere God. You adore God. It's an expression of your adoration for God. Not out of fear, but out of love. Worshipped. It's your act of worship. I struggle still with betting shops. I'd love to have a bet now and again. I can't see any harm in it. I go, you know, I'm not in there every day like I used to be. This is the sort of thing that goes around in my head. One won't hurt me. I kid myself if I did that, but I pat myself on the back and say, "Thank you, Lord, that you've saved me from a life of gambling and wasting money." And I resist. I use self-discipline, but I know the spirit in me also talks to me saying, "You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that." You know, I don't have the same problem with resisting drugs or like I used to. That's gone. Thank God. Praise God. Amen. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me about fags no more either. Amen. Glory to God. But it is about self-discipline and listening to the Spirit within. In James 4, in James 4, chapter 4, verse 7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But does anyone know the beginning part of that scripture? Sorry, someone said it. Hey, well done. That's Sylvia. I know, I did it. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Submit to God. Then resist the enemy and he will flee. It's a two-step thing, yeah? You've got to submit to God. And then use your self-discipline. And the enemy will leave you alone. He will go. Submission to God and using self-control is an act of worship. It's an expression of your reverence for God, and that is worship. Okay, no pressure on my cell group or home group now. H, what does this stand for? Honour? Nope. Nearly. Honesty? Nope. Have fun? Nope. We had hospitality, but I like the way you're thinking. I'll be round to yours afterwards. Who said that? Humility. I tell you what. Hold on. This man's surrounded by some godly people, isn't he? Wow. There you go. Two sweets. You can give one to him now. You're a lucky man, a rose amongst two thorns. Oi, get out of it. Humility. Right. Okay. Now, a little quiz. I haven't got many sweets to give out because I still need IMP. So I've got one spare. Okay. Right. Now, my cell group, home group, I say mine and Nina's cell group, should know the answers to these questions. So no pressure, guys. But if you don't get it right, we'll be doing it all again. Okay? Because we've been studying this over the last week. So, what is the first book of the Bible? Genesis. Excellent. And what does Genesis mean? Sorry? Begin. Oh, this is good. Good. Beginnings or origins. Okay, the second book of the Bible is? Exodus. And what does Exodus mean? Way out or exit. Excellent. You guys are smart. I don't care what Dave said about you. He didn't. He gave me a real frown there. What is the third book of the Bible? Leviticus, the fourth. Numbers, and the fifth book. And what does Deuteronomy mean? Ooh, got you now, haven't I? Sorry? Come on, you know it's from my cell group. Come on, one person. Shirley? You've forgotten. It was the last one we did. Okay, Deuteronomy means second law. Now, who wrote the five books? Moses. Shirley, you'll get this one. And what are the five books called, collectively? Pentateuch. Excellent. You guys are smart. Okay. So, just remind me again, who wrote Numbers? Moses. Anyone got a Bible? Can they turn to page 148? Page 148. Page 148. You there? Okay. And I want you to look to chapter 12, verse 3. And what does it say? Okay. So Moses wrote this, and it says, now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. I've always found that, it's actually in brackets in our Bible. Because actually, yeah, I've always found that funny because I don't believe that Moses thought highly of himself at all. Actually, we know that Moses didn't think highly of himself because when God told him to go back to Egypt, he said, find someone else. And then he said, you know, go back. He said, but I'm slow of speech. Yeah? He knew his thoughts, faults. Yeah? So I believe that he was a humble man. But I actually believe that this was edited after he passed away. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, and I got to this part, humility, I was reminded of a song from my childhood. My dad used to sing it to my mum when he'd had a few beers. that was before he was a born-again Christian, of course. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to put on my best country and western accent, and I'm just going to sing the first verse, if I can. and it's by a guy called Mac Davis, so I'm going to put on my country accent. Okay, here we go. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. Well, I must be a hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Yeah. Okay. Actually, it's a funny song, but actually, we really shouldn't think of ourselves that way. And why is that? Because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glorious standard of God. Yeah? We've all fallen short. We are all sinners saved by grace. In Ephesians 2, it says, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. It's the New Living Translation. It's never about what we've done. It's all about what Jesus did on the cross. We sung that hymn just before. It's all about you, Jesus. Exactly. It is, because it's not all about us. It is all about him. Being humble is an act of worship, understanding where we were, what we've been saved from, and what we have now. That should keep us in check. I know before I met God, I was a lying, horrible drug addict with a gambling addiction. Now I just don't have the addiction, but... No, I thank God, actually, for what he saved me from. And that keeps me in check. To know when I speak to others, I don't talk from a point where I'm higher than any of you. In fact, I'm lower than all of you. Yeah? But in heaven, I will be raised to the same level as all of you. Yeah? Amen? Okay. I. Okie dokie. I. What does I stand for? Anyone? Almost. No. Next. Anyone? Inspiration. No. Sorry? No. No. I said it earlier when I was talking about Jesus at the well with the woman. He said true worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. I'll keep them sweets for myself. Okay. In spirit and in truth. Okay. It says here, God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Now, I said at the beginning that I was embarrassed about worship. In fact, I purposely turn up late to church to miss the worship. I do. And I'm going to share this with you now. It's because, actually, I can't sing a worship song without crying. It's the truth. The moment I start, believe me, I think it's not manly, I get embarrassed, I get all tearful, man shouldn't cry. But the moment I open my mouth and I sing the words, my spirit knows where I was before God saved me. And I know the truth. And literally, I have a heart-eye connection. I start crying immediately because I know it's truth what I'm speaking. And all those times that I stand there and I mime, or I don't say the words, or I turn up late, or I'll sit down and I'll look around, it's because I'm not worshipping in spirit and in truth. I'm actually denying my spirit, and I'm not proclaiming the truth. I'm purposely stopping that. But after this preach, and after preparing this sermon, I've decided that I'm not going to be embarrassed anymore. I was more concerned about what people thought of me. but that ain't going to be the case anymore. Now, I've actually got a solution to... if you see me cry, I've actually got a solution now anyway. So I'm going to carry on. I'm going to cry and sing, but I've got these. Oh, yeah. Now, if you see me wearing these, yeah, you know that I'm in the worship zone. Yeah. And beneath here, if I'm crying, you won't know. So here's my solution. Literally, church, I've learnt this. You shouldn't care what anyone else to the left or the right think of you, because it's what God thinks of you that counts. Let us be a church who's more concerned with God's view. I get serious now. Let us be a church who's more concerned with God's view rather than the church that's next to us. I want to challenge you. We've got a worship song. A song? Song? Sounded very Elvis. We've got a worship song. We've got a worship song coming up at the end. And I'm going to challenge you to lift your voices. Lift your hands. It doesn't matter what Fred or Joe next to you think of you. It's about you and God. That's all that matters. Let us be a church that goes for God. Now, when I say God and goes for God, I want you to keep just something in check. I don't want you to go all David on me. Keep your clothes on until you're in your own, because they're a children present. So go for it, just keep your clothes on. In spirit and in truth are fundamental requirements for worship. They're not my words, they're the words that Jesus gave in John 4. In spirit and in truth. True worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. Okay, the last one. Nope. Sorry? Praise? Nope. 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 Who? Nope. Nope. Okay, I'll save you a thing, and I've got more sweets now for myself. Purpose. Okay, and scripture here from 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. This is the purpose for what we are called. It is why we were made. It is our purpose in life to praise and worship God. I haven't done the word worship justice today. I've just taken some facets. But guys, it's from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. Witness to others. Tell them the good news. If God's blessed you, bless others. That's an offering. Bless others. Read your Bibles. It is the word of God. It is a light unto your feet. Self-control. Resist the devil. Submit to God and he will flee. Use self-control, self-discipline to resist temptation, which will happen every single day of your life. Not out of fear, but out of reverence and adoration for your glorious and wonderful God. Humility. Know that you are no better than anyone else. You are all sinners. We are all sinners saved by grace. Without Jesus, we are just sinners. Yeah, we were all sinners before we found the truth. Yeah, we've been saved of the sin. It's been transferred onto Jesus for us. He paid our price. We didn't get away with it. Jesus had to pay the price. The penalty was paid. In spirit and in truth. When you come to church on a Sunday morning and we have those songs, go for it in spirit and truth. Anything less is denying the truth. It's denying your spirit. Jump around. I saw Elizabeth going for it today. She was jumping around. She was going for it. She didn't care what any of you thought. I've seen Judy Creasy up here on the stage jumping around. She didn't care what you thought, because it was about her and God. We need to be a church like that. Can I encourage you to do that? And finally, understand and know it's the reason why you were made. We're going to finish with a song. The guy's going to come up. Thank you for your time and attention. God bless you all.